Colossians chapter 4, we enter an interesting passage of Scripture here that we're going to talk about today. And Paul is starting to move towards an ending point with his letter to the church at Colossae. And he's going to mention here some people and things that I think are worth talking about a little bit here. You'll notice Colossians chapter 4, and let's go ahead and pick it up in verse number 7. Verse number 7, now you've got it there. Notice what the Bible says, "And all my state shall Tychicus declare unto you, who is a beloved brother and a faithful minister and a fellow servant in the Lord. Verse 8, whom I have sent unto you for the same purpose, that he might know your estate and comfort your hearts. With Onesimus, a faithful and beloved brother, who is one of you, they shall make known unto you all things which are done here. Aristarchus, my fellow prisoner, salute you, and Marcus, sister's son to Barnabas, touching whom ye received commandments, if he come unto you, receive him. And Jesus, which is called Justice, who are of the circumcision. These only are my fellow workers under the kingdom of God, which have been a comfort unto me." And we're going to stop there, talk a little bit about what we've got here. Heavenly Father, I pray that you would guide our study this morning. I pray, Father, that each one of us here today, Lord, would take interest in these people, Lord, found at this place and time, and Lord, may it be significant to us as, Lord, you have included this in your inspired Word of God. I pray, Lord, that you would teach us, and Lord, we would be good learners today. In your name we pray. Amen. A couple of weeks ago, Ms. Christina and I were looking at an old family picture. And I don't know if this is anything like what you do, but usually around Christmas time, when we get together with extended family, and mainly on my side of things, when we go to Florida, we go to my grandmother's house, and my aunts and uncles, and everybody, my cousins, they all descend there, and somewhere at the course in the evening, usually towards the end, somebody says, "Hey, let's get a family picture." And this maybe doesn't mean much to you as you sit right here. What's the big deal about a family picture? Well, there are kids, little kids involved. And anytime you're trying to get, you know, 25, 30 people all to stand still for a family picture, it's a challenging thing. How many of you know what I'm talking about? You've been a part of this. Like, we're waiting on that little kid who just won't get his act together. Anyway, we were looking at this picture, and it was a family picture from one of the Christmases. I don't know, maybe it was 8 years ago or so. And as we were looking at that picture, you know, when it comes to a family picture that, you know, okay, it's been several years, it's kind of fun to just to examine it just a little bit, right? You start, you know, focusing in on people, and you know, after 8 years, sometimes we look a little different. You know, and so we were kind of talking about that, like, oh, you know, look at David. Boy, he grew up quite a bit since then, didn't he? You know, these little kids are growing now. You know, sometimes the adults say they look a little older. Maybe they've, you know, put on a few pounds or lost a few pounds, and you know, people just look different. You know, we notice things like who was there that year. Sometimes that changes, you know, from year to year. There were people in that picture who haven't been since. I think my grandfather especially was in that picture, and he died just a few months later after that picture was taken. And so, you know, family pictures are just kind of like this. It's fun to look back, examine them. You know, think about the people who were there, maybe the people that were not there, and just kind of review and rehearse that memory. It's a special thing. Now, that's probably the closest thing that I could say to illustrate what's taking place here in the life of Paul. Paul is going to give us a little bit of a snapshot, a a ministry photo of people that are significant to him, people that mean something, have maybe he has been the result of their blessing him, or in some way he has blessed them, and they're worth mentioning here. But each one of these people that are mentioned has a life, has family members, and is loved of God, but yet is somebody that the Lord wants us to take notice of. Okay? Understand that when you read something in God's Word, it's there for a reason. Okay? Understand that God, when He communicates to us, He doesn't waste words. Okay? We waste words, don't we? You know, sometimes we like to make something greater than what it is. Sometimes when a memory was great at one time, it just continues to grow like the fish that was caught that was once this size and now it's this size. Okay? Sometimes we waste words. Okay? God never does that. When He puts something in God's Word, it's for our benefit, and it's because He wants us to see something about it. So let's start off, and I want us to just examine this snapshot of ministry that Paul gives us, and to see something different about each person that he mentions. The first one that we see here is found, of course, in verse 7. Tychicus here is mentioned of Paul, and we're actually given quite a bit of information about him. But this is not the only place that he is mentioned in Scripture. Let me just give you this, okay? Because we're going to talk about him, and I call him, this is Tychicus the runner, okay? There are all types of people that accomplish things for the Lord. Okay, you look at a church and is the pastor there? Yes, okay. Who else is there? Well, you've got the deacons. You've got other people who are doing other things. Oftentimes we hear, you know, about the nursery. It takes some hundred people, I don't know, to make it work, you know. And we think, oh, wow, that's a lot of people to watch babies. But it's a needful thing. And yet there are people that are serving and that are doing the Lord's work in different capacities. Well, Tychicus here, I've labeled him the runner because he's sort of become that in Scripture. I want you to notice here in Acts chapter 20, we first see him. So go with me. I want us to track him just a little bit. Sometimes we see these names and we're like, this means nothing to me. But let's allow it to mean something to us this morning. Let's follow Tychicus here and see a little bit of his story. Acts chapter 20 and verse number 4. Hopefully you brought your Bible this morning. And everybody who did gets a gift card today. So, no, I'm just kidding, okay? We don't do that. You know better, Scott, better than that. All right. Acts chapter 20 here. And you'll notice that he is mentioned. And you notice towards the second part of this verse, we're not going to go through all through this, but let's start back at verse 3, and you'll notice, and there abode 3 months, and when the Jews laid wait for him as he was about to sail into Syria, you'll notice that this is Paul that's about to sail, he purposed to return through Macedonia, and there accompanied him, and then it gives this list of people, but we find at the bottom part of this verse, we find Tychicus mentioned here, okay? Within the context of what's taking place in Acts chapter 20, we find that what's going on here is Paul's interested in taking up an offering for needy Jews, particularly in Jerusalem. And Tychicus was one who was willing to travel with Paul to Jerusalem. Now, we hear that, and you can go back to Colossians chapter 4. We hear that, and we just think, oh, wow, okay, well, that's nice. But you know what? It's not like, you know, Paul is just the most important person in all of Scripture. Okay? No. Again, and I want to impart this to you. The ground is level at the foot of the cross, and whereas God may call some people to stand and preach, the Lord has also called other people to help in the ministry. And you say, which one is more important? Well, they're all important in regards to the Lord. Tychicus is one who was a runner. He was one that said, hey, Paul, I want to come with you. I want to come support what you are doing. Now, think about this for me just for a second, because when we think about traveling, we think about, wouldn't it be cool to travel the world? Now, how many of you, you're like, wouldn't it be cool to travel the world? You would enjoy that, okay? And we think in the day and time that we're living in, okay? We think, oh, you know, hopping from one plane to the next, you know, spending a few hours in the air and boom, we're at our dream destination or wherever. But that's not how travel was. Okay, we think about restaurants and we think about hotels and oh, yeah, sign me up for that. Man, I want to go all the way around the world for that. That's not what's going on here, okay? Traveling was a hard thing in this day. And so when Paul says, hey, I'm going to go collect an offering for the needy people at Jerusalem, and he says, hey, we're going to travel about here and go over here and over here, you know, Tychicus was like, hey, that, sign me up for that. That's something I want to do. And yet, travel was such a hard thing in this day. They didn't have the conveniences we have today. You didn't know where you were going to end up staying most of the time. And you really just had to be led of the Lord as you traveled for him. And that was Tychicus. He was one that was willing to accompany Paul and to travel with him. Notice Titus chapter 3 and verse 12. This is another place that Tychicus is mentioned. Titus chapter 3 and verse 12. Titus chapter 3 and verse 12. Okay, so this is a letter that Paul is writing to Titus. And notice what it says. It says, verse 12, that when I shall send Artemas unto thee, or Tychicus, be diligent to come unto, and then he mentions where he's at there. Okay, so this is what else we know about him. Well, he was someone that was able to stand in Titus's place. Okay, so Tychicus is that runner. Tychicus says, look, Paul, you need something done, sign me up, all right? I maybe can't do what you can do, but I can do what I can do, and the Lord has given me the desire, the ability to be a support and a help, and I can go and maintain a ministry, I can watch over it, and that's what's happening here. Titus had a church, he was a young pastor, but Paul wanted to communicate with Titus about some things, and so he said, hey, listen, let me send Tychicus to you so he can keep track of the ministry and then you can come. Hey, listen, we need more Tychicus today. We do. You know, I think about some of those who have been a runner in ministries that I have been a part of. And I think about the bus ministry that we had at my church growing up. There were some 7 different bus routes and men who were just lay people in the church who were willing to say, hey, you know what? I can drive a bus. I need to study a little bit, and I may need to get a CDL license, but you know what? I can study. You know, I can give my time to that. This is a worthy cause. I can do that for the cause of Christ. And so there were always 7 bus drivers who were ready to man their route, and then you had people who were under them. If they came up sick, well, they were going to fill that slot. Boy, that's sacrificial right there. We have men in our church. We have Brother Nathan, Brother Chase, and I don't mean to put them on the spot today, but you know what? There is a need in the youth group for some people to drive some buses. And you know what they said? I'll do that. Now, these men are busy. How many of you understand they're busy? Let me see your hands. Everybody's hand need to be up, all right? They're busy individuals. Did they just say, hey, this is what I'm going to do because, you know what, I just have nothing to do and I sit at home and twiddle my thumbs and I just want to sit behind a wheel and hear a bunch of teenagers screaming. That's what I want to do. Is that their? No. Okay, listen. Now, they've found out how to tune some of those things out through the years, but I'll tell you, it's something they enjoy. They say, hey, let me do this. This is something that I can do. Now, let me give you 3 things, okay? 3 things to shoot for, and this is kind of a little rabbit trail here, but I want this should be in your mind, because I think a lot of times, when I was your age, I did not aspire to a lot in regards to the local church, okay? Now, I was musically involved in my church. My dad always urged me to serve where I could. And I was involved in a bus ministry, and I would go and I would ride the bus and try to keep some of the order, and we'd go over memory verses and things like that. And that's something he just, you know, encouraged me to do. But as you get older and you have more opportunities to, ladies, maybe work, fill a spot in the nursery or teach a Sunday school class, or fellas, maybe you get an opportunity to be a deacon or to help on security. Listen, all those things are important. The point is, every single one of us, if we're saved and a part of the church, we should be looking for opportunities to serve. Okay, it's not well, some Christians serve and some don't. All Christians should serve. All of them. Okay, if you're saved, the Lord wants you to be a part of serving in the local church. Now, the great thing is many of you at this level, even in high school, are applying yourself to service. Yesterday, great participation. Really appreciate the helping hands that turned out. You guys were just, hey, I'm here to serve. That's my mindset. I'm ready to go. And just don't let that mindset slip from you. Okay? Service is a part of being a Christian. And the Lord has given us a place to serve, which is the local church. Now, I'm going to give you two other things that are, this is the part of the side note, okay? Three aspirations to shoot for, okay? One, serve, okay, in your local church, okay? Number two, okay, you should be a part of a service undistracted, okay? Now, this is the extreme of service, okay? Now, this is a point that we have to talk about. Does there come a point where you can serve too much? What do you guys think? Josiah, tell me what you mean by that.
If you're serving too much, especially for pastors, you don't have time with your family to teach them what they should be doing with their lives.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Yeah, I think, you know, if you're a pastor and you're constantly giving, you have to have a way by which the Word of God is ministering to your heart. Okay, you have to have that. That's one of the reasons why through the week I try to listen to sermons. Usually, it's people that I know and that I've heard preach before and have churches other places. A lot of times I'll tune in. Why? Because Brother Scott has a heart that needs to be ministered to. Okay? Sometimes service becomes all of what someone does. And that's missing the point, because God wants us, yes, does He want us to serve? He does, but not at the point where we're only serving and we're not being fed. Okay? So this is an amiable goal. Okay? If you're a Christian, serve. But number two, make sure that you're able to be a part of a service during the week when you are undistracted. And then third of all, again, I told you these were rabbit trails, but we're going here this morning just because some of you are writing it down. I think it's a good thing. And the third thing is, have an aspiration to be a part of a small group in your local church. Okay? You say, what are our small groups? Well, it's our Sunday school. If you guys exclusively just attended the morning service, okay, when, you know, there's 300 people in there, and let's say we didn't have a youth group, we were just kind of spread out, it would be very difficult to make connections with people in that room just because the sheer volume of people that are there. Okay, that's one of the reasons why we have Sunday school. It's an opportunity for us to get a group of people who identify with maybe an age group or a season of life or something like that, and shrink the size so that you have an opportunity to be sharpened and challenged by people around you in a smaller group setting. It's really important. You know, I can't share all of my intimate prayer requests with 300 people. Now, I could. I could get up and say, you know, I got 5 prayer requests before we take the offering. They're going on in Brother Scott's life. Number one, the washer needs fixed. Y'all wouldn't mind praying about that. I gotta get to that. And I could share those, okay, but the 300 people, that's not gonna work. But I'll tell you, in a Sunday school setting, it gives people an opportunity to share more intimate prayer requests and to be able to forge relationships with Christians on a smaller scale. Okay? Listen, those are three things that I hope that you will always pursue in your life. Okay? As a Christian, serve. Please serve. It's important to serve. Okay? Number two, be a part of a service during the week where you are undistracted, where you are worshiping and you are allowing God to speak to you. Okay? And then number three, make sure that you're able to what was the third one? Somebody help me. Anybody remember? Ellie, you got it? Small groups, yeah. Mm-hmm. It's an important thing. Okay, let's go back to Tychicus. Before we finish up today, I made this note about the travel, and I want you to think about taking a trip like this. Notice here, the trip from Rome to Colossae was a difficult one, and Tychicus made this trip, but he would have first had to cross much of Italy on foot, then sail across the Adriatic Sea. After traversing Greece on foot, he would sail across the Aegean Sea to the coast of Asia Minor. After that, he still faced a journey of nearly 100 miles on foot to reach Colossae. That's not a trip I would be interested in making. Okay, I mean, at this moment, say, Brother Scott, are you interested in setting out for a trip like that? Not really. Okay, and the boats that they were sailing in back in this day, it was not a cruise. All right, so this would not be something that you and I would say, well, we would probably say, that's a trip. Wow, who would sign up for that? That's Tychicus. Well, he was one that said, you know what, I can't do some things. But you know what? I can take this letter, and we're going to talk about this next week. He was part of the group that took this letter to Colossae. I can take that letter, Paul, and I can take it to the church of Colossae. I can do that. I can't do everything, but Paul, I can do that. Boy, what a heart for service. Okay, every single one of us in here has been gifted for something. God has given you a gift. And the local church is the opportunity for you to use those gifts for His glory. And listen, when you do, the church moves forward. Because that's just what the Lord wants us all to do. Heavenly Father, Lord, I thank You for Tychicus. I thank You, Lord, for his godly example. Lord, he was a runner. Lord, You used him in a special way. We don't find anywhere where he is preaching a message. Lord, we don't find anywhere where he was giving a devotional. But Lord, he was a hard worker. And Lord, he challenges my life, Lord. And he's a reminder that all of us ought to have a heart for service. Lord, I pray that you would challenge, Lord, us today. Lord, that service would not be something that we just look at and say, well, if it suits me, I'll do it. Or one time a year, I'll do it. Lord, we realize that this is a part of worshiping you and encouraging others. And Lord, we thank you for the rewards that you offer when we have the chance to do that. Lord, bless our hearts today in the morning service. We love you and ask all these things in the name of Jesus. Amen.